Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast, episode 896. As I continue to look back at episodes from seasons 1 through 3 of the hit series, the epic now completed series Snowfall, this episode 3 was titled Slow Hand, as we see what transpired with Franklin coming off a beatdown by Lenny and Ray Ray. We'll get into that with the best scenes and also themes. First, though, we'll begin with the themes. Not exactly how we planned. So our three main characters, Franklin, Teddy, and Gustavo, all have to pivot from original plans. They're forced to pivot. With the biggest pivot, of course, coming probably between Franklin and Gustavo. We'll get into the Gustavo part, but Franklin definitely had to make another move following him being robbed by Lenny and Ray Ray. He was forced to, you know, do something, go outside of himself as far as, you know, get deeper and deeper into this world that he is still yet unfamiliar with. And you know, you look at Teddy, you look at Gustavo, you look at Franklin, all of them, even though we're only three episodes into this, all of them, episode by episode, just continue to get sucked into this life that, again, this is kind of like they're swimming in, you know, they're in the deep end. They are nearing the deep end of the pool. Matter of fact, you could make a case that they are in the deep end of the pool. We also got to learn more about Teddy McDonald and his backstory with his family and his wife, as he met up with his wife and got to see his son. So, you know, episode by episode, we started to unpeel the layers of some of our main characters. We're going to begin with the deep dive. We're going to deep dive the character Carvel. Now, Carvel, of course, was brought in to assist Franklin and Leon with the recovery of the money that was stolen, of course, by Lenny and Ray Ray. We find out Franklin reaches out to Leon for help. Leon, of course, you know, has connections from the time they spent, you know, a short stint they spent in jail. Leon is, you know, is the between Franklin and Leon. Leon clearly is more connected to the street as far as being the tough guy, as far as being a guy who is respected, just, you know, respected in terms of a little bit on the street. I mean, he doesn't have a big reputation, but he's, you know, he's known around the way. So Leon, you know, basically tells Franklin, look, you know, this is going to cost you. They meet up with some dudes not too far in the neighborhood. They give vague information on what they're looking for. And this, you know, this turns a lot of the guys off, basically refusing to help Leon. They basically refuse to help Leon and Franklin, with the exception of one. And that was Carvel. Carvel wanted to know who did it and wanted to know who was responsible for the stealing, for the missing property. And at this point, they hadn't told Carvel what was exactly missing. As soon as they told him the name of the two guys, he immediately, that seemingly, you know, got him excited. And he says, basically said, look, you know, oh, sure, let's go get him. Now, this just goes to show you that, you know, these two guys that took Franklin's money, you would think that they were, you know, regular tough guys. And then when you hear another guy say, no, these two dudes are soft, basically wannabe gangsters, Franklin and Leon quickly learn that there's another level of a tough guy, of a real street dude. And they find out with Carvel. Carvel is in every scene, like Carvel, without getting into the best scenes, and we'll get to the best scenes later on, but Carvel is coming up. But Carvel is crazy. You would think, I don't think they mentioned this during the episode, but Carvel, there's no question, well, based on the action that he took later on in this episode, that Carvel has done some time. Carvel is a real, real dude. He's a real street dude. And he immediately recognizes how weak Franklin is. He immediately recognized, like, he immediately sent, like, senses, kind of figures things out. As you know, as he learns more and more about what's going on with Franklin and this missing money that's been taken by Lenny and Ray Ray, the character, the actor who played him was brilliant in this episode. We'll get to him more. Sean McKinney, you've seen him; he's been on various shows over the past decade. He was in Vice Principals on HBO not too long ago, a few years back. With Danny McBride, so he's been around for about a decade now, seemingly, and he was brilliant in this episode. We'll talk more about him, but was a guy that he's enlisted that you know he was enlisted by Franklin by Leon more so Leon than Franklin to help out, and things take a drastic turn as we will discuss. When we get into our best scenes. Getting back to Carvel, anybody, you know, listen, I was never a street dude. Won't ever pretend to be one. But anybody that knows anything about the streets or that's any friends that have been in the streets or that have been locked up, there's always one guy in the neighborhood, in most neighborhoods, not that just you don't want to fuck with. That just, that like, you know, somebody will tell you, he's not the one. Or they're not the one. Like there's always one guy around this neighborhood, and it's not so much you can be with. It's not so much that the dude is a criminal. He could be just nice with the hands, or he could be somebody that you just don't want to mess with in general. Carvel's that dude. Like Carvel's the guy, that even street dudes would be like, you know what, I'm just gonna give him some space. And this character, the cat, and Sean McKinley brilliantly depicts that with his playing the role of Carvel during this episode. Best scenes: Gustavo, Lucia, and Pedro. So they discuss their next move. They discuss their next move as far as they have a list of people who they're going to pick one of them to kill. To try to take Romero off their off their tails, to try to draw, to kind of like throw off Romero, of course, who is Pedro's father. So they have a list of guys who they're going to pick one of them to kill. Now Gustavo is very clear about families. So if the guys have families, then he's not with it. Pedro, not so much. Really doesn't care. He mentions one of the guys has four kids. Called Pedro says, but they'd be better off without him. He's a bitch. Gustavo says, no family, no children. So it comes down to two guys, Enrique and Thomas. Enrique is the enforcer. No, yes, Enrique is the enforcer. Thomas has no kids, so they choose Thomas because of Enrique is security. They choose Thomas. Because of Enrique being security, and they discuss their next moves. They discuss their next move in terms of that. We'll talk more about that later on. We'll talk more about that later on with the best scenes as we move along. Again, Gustavo's in a place where, you know, he has some, at this point, he has leverage from the standpoint of they need him. Purely, they need him for muscle. So Gustavo does have more leverage than one may think, considering basically he's new to this, and considering that he's the one that is somewhat trying to get into the family. But he still has the leverage to say, "Hey," he still has the leverage to say, "Hey, I'm not with this. I'm not going to do this." Or he'll put conditions on what he chooses to do or chooses not to do. We go to Franklin, Leon, Carvel, and Lenny. So they get to Lenny's house. Ray Ray has not appeared yet. They get to Lenny's house. Carvel has a gun. He knocks on the door and says, you know, I got your bitch. Pushes Leon, and as soon as Lenny opens the door, he kicks it, basically pushes the door and takes Lenny. They take Lenny hostage, tie him up. They go through, they try to, you know, they basically tear his place apart looking for the money. They were initially in the first scene, they were not able to find the money. Lenny recognizes Franklin from the beat down, basically calls him, you know, calls him out, you know, calls him out his name, disrespects him, has zero respect for Franklin whatsoever. And seemingly just does not understand who he's dealing with in terms of Carvel. Because at the beginning, even tied up, even with a sock in his mouth, he had no fear for Carvel whatsoever. None. At least in the beginning. They get to a point where they're getting Carvel starting to get impatient. Leon punches Franklin, excuse me, punches Lenny in the mouth, blood, you know, bust his mouth. He spits at Franklin. Franklin always, you know, trying to be the diplomat here and always, you know, more always trying to not. And this is again, this is something I've noticed from Franklin early on, that Franklin will try to talk things out more than go into violence or more. He's, you know, in the beginning, they really set him up as like a negotiator type, a diplomatic type. He's the thinker from that standpoint. So he basically gives Carver, tells Lenny, like, look, we, you know, you don't want to do this. We don't, you know, we, you know, don't want to really, I don't want to kill you, so on and so on. But again, Franklin at this point, you know, has zero street credibility whatsoever. His name is not ringing out in the streets. He is not the Franklin that, of course, we know that that ended this series with Snowfall. These are still the baby steps of him developing and developing his reputation and developing and even finding out who he is as a man. I think Franklin, from an identity standpoint, is still figuring out who he is at this point in his life. Still, you know, the character he's playing, that Damson Eldridge is playing, is basically a teenager in a sense. He's like 17, 18 years old. So you have to also keep that in mind. When you're talking about Franklin, when you're looking at Franklin, especially in this first season. So Carvel just snaps. Lenny continuously says, fuck you. That triggers Carvel. And Carvel takes a baseball bat, hits Lenny in the torso, hits him in the torso, also hits him in the arm. Lenny's yelling. And even with that amount of pain that he was in, basically tells Carvel, you know, fuck you. Then Carvel drags him in a room, and Franklin at this point seemingly, you know, has completely lost control. Like Carvel at this point is in total control from standpoint of he's not listening to Franklin or Leon whatsoever. He doesn't even respect them. Immediately, you know, he calls them, you know, basically drugstore cotton, you know, ice cream, soft ass niggas. Or baby shit, you know, baby. I forgot what the exact line was. He said these two niggas are soft as baby shit, basically, to Lenny, and he drags Lenny in the room. Franklin thinks that he is physically, well, he was physically abusing him, but not to what Franklin. Franklin basically says he's killing him, and then we learn to find out he wasn't killing him, but he was kind of killing him as he's raping Lenny. Leon says no, he's giving it to him. And he was giving it to him. You could hear the bed squeaking. At the end of the scene, you have Lenny bent over, pants down. Carvel walks out the room, unzips up his pants, and ends up finding the money. And then Carvel just basically scoffs at them, saying, you know, at Franklin, saying, hey, that's our money. That's our money. And he, you know, listen, physically, he's much more imposing than these two guys. And again, this guy's a real dude. Seemingly, I wouldn't be surprised if he had some bodies on him. He just walks right past Franklin and Leon. And they are probably better off than, no better off than where they started in terms of not having the money. Yeah, they know who has it, but they knew who had it before in terms of Lenny and Ray Ray. But now Carvel has all their money. Carvel seemingly. And again, I don't think it was a matter, but Carvel seemingly was annoyed by the fact that Franklin ended up telling him it was only a couple of G's. I think if Franklin would have told him it was 30 G's, he still would have took it. Like from the point he recognized them, or recognized at least Franklin as a non-street dude, he was going to take that money regardless. Like, what's that? That as soon as he, Like he suspected. I'm sure Carbell in his mind, even before they told him it was money, in his mind, he suspected that there was some money missing, and that Franklin and Leon didn't want to tell everybody. So he picked up. I'm sure back at the house, back at the house that he was at with his other boys, that he was suspecting that it probably was some money, and that he was going to. This was going to be his big score from that standpoint. Okay. Here's the problem with the scene. The most people's problem with the scene was the rape. When this originally came out, a lot of people had a problem with that. A lot of people on social media, a lot of people thought it was, I mean, they didn't show, actually, all you did was hear sounds. They didn't actually show it. But, there are people that were uncomfortable with that. Now, again, this is 2017. So a lot of things have been shown on television that, or heard on television that, this is not, the early 90s per se. The problem I had with the scene myself was the fact that if I'm missing $30,000, I'm going to destroy a house. For them not to check that, they didn't check the room that the money was actually in. They were not shown checking that room. Like, I'm ripping that and I'm tearing that house apart. I don't know if it was a situation where I don't think Franklin had this type of foresight to say, to think that, hey, if I find the money, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm just gonna be like, all right, you know what? When you find it, come back, get it, so Carvel doesn't know it. I don't think he had that type of foresight. But if you want to nitpick a scene from that standpoint, you could easily say that they did not. The sense of urgency as far as tearing up that house was not there for $30,000 missing. Gustavo and Thomas. So Gustavo goes to the house of Thomas, the guy who they agreed, who all of them have agreed on killing. And what Gustavo ends up finding out is Thomas has a lover, not a girl, Thomas is gay, and he sees them cooking dinner, sees them kissing, and he decides that he's not going to kill him. I think Gustavo pulled out because he didn't want to kill both of them. Like, you can't just kill one of them. I didn't think so. This show, to me, this shows some early humanity out of Gustavo, and that he does have limits. Like, yeah, he can get violent, he can be violent, but he's not going to kill just for the sake of killing. Had he killed Thomas, he would have had to kill his boyfriend. He would have had to. Like, you just can't leave any witnesses. You can't bank on the fact. I don't care how much you intimidate the guy. You can't bank on the fact that that he's not going to tell someone. So I think what they showed you with Gustavo is how much humanity that there is some humanity within that character. And we'll go on to see. We'll see. How that transpires for the rest of these first three seasons. Franklin, Jerome, and Louis. So Franklin re returns to Jerome and Louis. Him and Jerome drinking, I think, had some whiskey, some brown liquor. I think it was whiskey. And Louie comes in and says, "None for me." She sees the marks on Franklin's face. She assumes it that Claudia was the one that's responsible. He says no. Franklin tells her no, tells her and Jerome no, and basically asks them for a gun. And this is the point. This is one of these fork in the road moments in for this series for Franklin Saint. Jerome specifically tells him, if you have a gun, you better be ready to use it. And basically Jerome says, I don't want any part of this. If it comes back on you, that I gave you this gun. No way to hear any shit from Sissy about me giving you a gun. This is you. Once I give you this gun, you're basically on your own from that standpoint. So reluctantly, Jerome does give him the gun. And Franklin, to end the episode, puts the gun in a broken stereo. As he ends the episode, sit next to his mother as she watches television, and that's how the episode ends. Again, you see Franklin. I think through the first three episodes, as smart as Franklin is, you heard Abby say, he has a silver tongue, and we heard some of his vision in episode one. He's still very green, and he's still, and even Claudia called him out in the second, I believe it was the second episode. He's still naive. And I think through the first three episodes, they do an excellent job at just showing he's weak at this point. He's from a street standpoint, he's absolutely weak. He may be smart, he may be ambitious, he may have a plan, but from a street standpoint, he does not have any street in him at this standpoint. And you're not going to survive the drug game or advance in the drug game without that type of mentality, without that type of mentality. And, you know, he pays a price that could have cost him his life in episode two with Lenny and Ray Ray. They easily could have killed him. And he paid the price with getting his money taken, not once, but twice. So you've had three people. You have Lenny, Ray Ray, and Carvel have no regards or not even hesitate to take Franklin's money and keep it moving. So even though you've seen Franklin progress, you know, get a key, flip it with some quick thinking, with some maneuvering with Louis, the relationship with Avi and what have you, they're still showing him to be vulnerable as they should, considering that he's not deep in this game yet. Then we have your episodes, Carvel. Again, Sean McGinley was brilliant in this episode. The two scenes that he was in, or the three scenes that he was in, he dominated those scenes. Just McKinney, excuse me, Sean McKinney, get his name right. He's, you know, eating sugar smacks, cracking jokes. So he, you know, we know he's crazy. We know that he might be a killer, but you know, he has, similar to Avi, he does have some charisma, and he does have along with that violent side. And again, you see the difference between him, Franklin, and to a lesser extent, Leon, in terms of the levels of street. Like, he was a real street dude. So they're like, I thought the directors, the writers did a great job at separating him, as showing what a street dude looks like versus two guys that are not in the game yet. Even with Leon, you know, just even, you know, we found out that, again, Leon did a little stint in jail, but you know, nothing too serious as far as like years per se. But even Leon is not quite there yet, as far as having a street reputation. He's looked upon, you know, they call him Little Leon. So even Carvel was calling that. Leon got upset, said, "No, just call me Leon." But Carvel was the MVP of this episode. Led them to the money, was able to get the money, even though he took the money from him. Again, that actor was dynamic in in every scene that he was in. And again, he again is the difference between a real street dude and where they're at and where they are at right now. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Real Deal Podcast. We'll be back next time with episode four, Drama. So we'll be back with that episode. Have a great rest of your evening. So long.